Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
It is my pleasure to introduce Colonels Bob and Marguerite Ward. Do you want to be Robert?
Bob's.
Bob's fine. Okay, because I like to be Catherine, not Kathy. But so we want to make sure we get it right. They are friends of ours for quite a few years, and I think our fellowship comes from partly from me knowing your sister. And being good friends, but also they are folks who have spent pretty much half of their officership serving overseas. And so they have served in South Africa in what was it Rhodesia when you were there?
Zimbabwe.
Oh, it was Zimbabwe when you were there. Zimbabwe?
Just.
And a year in Chicago and also in Pakistan. And so they have quite a variety of experience. And, you know, I think when we serve overseas, we become far more sensitive to cultural issues and respectful of those of other who come from other lands and cultures. They are people of great spiritual depth, and they have walked some interesting walks. Marguerite had a stroke.
Brain tumors.
Yeah. It was in the head. that certainly was a trying time and a very stretching time. And so they come with deep life experience as well as their great walk with God. They currently live in Oshawa, where they have located to be close to their son. And I would ask you to welcome Colonels Bob and Marguerite Ward.
Thank you, Kathy. And
is that the wrong name?
Did I get the wrong name?
Sorry.
You are Kathy, aren't you?
Catherine.
That's right. Marguerite's best friend is Kathleen, and you better not call her Kathy either. Catherine. That's my mother's name. Well, the thing is that we have served a lot overseas, and we served in Newfoundland as well, and out in the west in the prairies, also Toronto. But one of the things we learned a long time ago is that treat everybody with love and respect, because you never know when they're going to be called upon to introduce you at a gathering. So we're very glad, Catherine, that you were here to introduce
us.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. All we need is the Holy Spirit and our wives to guide us. And we are sure to be all right. Well, we have a call to worship. And each of you have a different section. So if you can just follow along, we will start off our meeting. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, show us your glory. Women.
He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
Lord, show us your glory. Lord, show us your glory. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore. Lord, show us your glory today. Amen. And later on, we're going to be talking about a man who was blind who saw the glory because Jesus healed him of his blindness. But in the meantime, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing about a miracle.
We know what we're doing, sort of. I'm grateful to Catherine for mentioning my head issues, because this is my first that I've done leading of a meeting for a long time. And I've been told that you're such a lovely congregation that this would be a good place for me to give it a twirl. So here I am, and I'm just, if I stumble, you'll know why, or if I point at you, then you're on for the next song. Okay, but I do want to encourage you to watch for the words, particularly how they relate to the scripture, because you'll be more blessed if you do that. Now we're going to start with a rousing singing, and we're going to stand, and band, can we go right through it? Singing, and you may be seated. Thank you. And you can appreciate that I can sing that, because I really do feel I've had some miracles in my life. And when I used to lead singing companies, when we used to sing that last verse, I used to get them to shout it all. And I find myself wanting to shout it all, that Jesus gives victory. Well, Bob's going to come and lead us in prayer.
The Lord touches us in many ways. And sometimes we need to be healed from our spiritual blindness. Sometimes God needs to touch our head because something's there that is actually causing disturbance. But we come here this morning, like that blind man, we want to see Jesus. And to reach out and touch him and to say that we love him. And if nothing else happens this morning, but we have a sense of the presence of Jesus here, strengthening us, blessing us, challenging us perhaps, but also giving us strength for tomorrow. Well, this is our prayer this morning as we sing it together. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Do you want to see Jesus this morning? Do you want to feel his presence in your life? Well, even as we sing this, make this your prayer, your petition to God this morning.
Open our eyes. Thank you.
Lord, we come to you this morning, and we hear so many sounds out there, so many voices, so many people telling us what to do, what not to do. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard to make sense out of what we hear. But we come here this morning, Lord, and we think first of all of the blind man, the man who spent his life begging for a living because he couldn't see to work. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that for those this morning who have come here, who need a miracle in their lives, and we pray especially, Lord, for a sense of your presence. We do thank you for us. We thank you for loving us, and we thank you even during this lead up to Good Friday and the Easter Sunday, that Lord, that somehow that the steps that you took will be steps that will lead us closer to you. We pray, Lord, that you will open up our eyes, that we will see you, that you will open up our ears, that we will hear your voice, and that, Lord, that voice will give us direction, it will give us new momentum, it will give us courage, it will give us strength, because, Lord, we know it comes from you. And so, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon this service. We pray that you'll be with the singing, the band. We pray that you'll be with the message, the reading from your word. And we pray that everything, Lord, will lead us and point us to you. So that, Lord, that we can leave here with a fresh strength and a fresh understanding of your will for our lives. We think especially of the situations throughout the world that need your special touch. We think of the Ukraine. We think of where tragedy has struck. And, Lord, we just pray that you will be with the world leaders. We pray, Lord, that somehow that they will take their people and make their interests and take them to heart. That, Lord, that we can resolve our issues, that there will be peace on earth, the peace that you have promised. And, Lord, we just pray that within your church there will be peace. That, Lord, we will show the world that, indeed, you are the center of our being, the center of our organization, the center of our faith, and that, Lord, you can show us the way. So, Lord, be with us now and just bless us each this morning as we further wait upon you. For these mercies we would ask in your name. Amen. And now we're going to have another song.
Some officer wives get to read the scripture, but one of the outcomes of my situation is I can read perfectly if I just read to myself, but I cannot read, it doesn't transfer into my mouth. So I can read the Bible, but I can't read it for you. So Bob's going to have to do that. But I just thought you want to know that reading is a challenge for me. We're going to sing an old song. Good. It's up there. Blessed Assurance. But the second verse said, visions of rapture burst on my sight. And I hope that will help as we think about blindness, whether it's physical or spiritual, or whether just as his people here today, we want to have a vision of rapture on our sight so we can have new energy to serve him. And of course, the last verse says, watching and waiting, looking above. So you know why the song was selected.
Is your voice so clear? Is the sound so clear?
It's in John's Gospel, chapter 9, reading from the New International Version. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he replied. May God bless the reading of his word.
The announcements this week are not extensive, but we ask that you remember that next Sunday will be our potluck lunch. We had one at the end of January, and there was a great crowd, and we were excited to get back and be able to share around the table, not just our cup of tea or coffee and a cookie that we have on a Sunday, but a meal together. In your bulletin this morning, there was a little insert that tells about the protocols that are taking place now as far as public health is expecting of potlucks. And the other thing is, and it's mentioned in there, but there's a little card just outside the office door, and it's the potluck pal, and it's just so that you can identify what your dish is coming next Sunday, bring it with you, and it certainly lets you highlight whether there's a chance of an allergy alert for anybody who may have allergies amongst the crowd that are there. If you have any questions, Lorene will be happy to answer them. There is a little update about Stephanie. Major Charlene, when she was here, had shared about this young woman, and she's waiting for surgery now. The first round of treatment was successful, so we are going to continue with her on our prayer list. And then take note that Easter is coming very soon, and the various services that we will have on that Sunday, on that whole weekend, Friday night and Sunday. Sunday there is a breakfast at 8:30. I understand that the downtown walk is still going on, and we'll try and get the information for Friday morning in the bulletin for next week. I'll just check on the details that it is still happening. And now we will take your tithes and offering. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we've come again, and as we come, we are now going to give to you that which is yours to be used here for your kingdom. We ask that each gift is blessed by you and those who give cheerfully. And now we ask all of it in your name. Amen.
A little known fact is I was born in Scotland. You can gather that by my accent, right? I can't put it on, though, because my father had one worse than the Scots themselves, because he exported his when he was in his young 20s. But I did visit Scotland once, and one of the things I noticed, that wherever I drove around, there were these black-faced sheep. And I asked my Scottish cousin, "What are those black-faced sheep called?" And she says, "They're black-faced sheep." But wherever you go, there are sheep in Scotland. And Hugh Roberton was the conductor of the and the founder of the Glasgow Orpheus Choir. And he wrote a song that has made its way into the Salvation Army repertoire, "All in an April Evening." And as he looked at the lambs he thought of the Lamb of God. And that brought him into what happened at Easter as well. So we're going to be blessed, I'm sure, as the band brings to us All in an April Evening.
Spring is coming, Easter is coming, and so we're going to sing a song to prepare us and think about that together. Jesus, keep me near the cross, and I'll stand. Ask you to stand too.
Thank you.
Has anybody told you that you're good singers? Yeah, it's lovely. Just hear it. It's been a blessing to me. I'm going to ask you to sing the chorus once more. And I was just about going to ask the band to do it because I was sitting there and I could hear them. And then I saw some of them left. And I thought maybe there were maybe the ones that could sing. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. So no, I won't do that. But then I thought, wow, this is a singing congregation. It's lovely. So let's have the chorus event again, please.
The cross.
And our thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of coming into your place, your house, to worship you, to hear your word. And we pray that you will bless Bob as he speaks to us, that we'll hear it as if coming from your lips. And it will help us, it will encourage us, it will challenge us, whatever we need, Lord. We pray that you will use your word again to bless us. Bless this congregation, and thank you for the beautiful music that we've enjoyed together. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
When we came back from Pakistan, one of the things I was noticing is that people were giving sermons from iPads and devotions from telephones. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Well, it never really appealed to me until we moved from a townhouse into a condo apartment. And Marguerite decided that we needed to downsize, and included in the downsizing was our printer. So now if I'm going to do a message, I have to do it, put it all together on my computer, and then email it to me so I can pick it up on my iPad. So now here I am, sitting among the seat of the scornful, certainly the seat of the scorned, because I thought, well, okay. But I'm getting used to it. The problem is it doesn't tell me how long the sermon is. In the old days, I used to do it on one page, two columns, and if I couldn't get it on one page, I would cut it out. And then generally speaking, it was about 17, 18 minutes. But this just keeps on going on and on and on, so
who knows?
Well, there were two speakers. One was the one that says finally and finalizes, then there's the other one that says lastly and lasts and lasts. But we do pay attention to time. And if we finish too soon, people will still rise and call us blessed. So we will, well, we've been talking about this whole service leading up to the time leading up to the Good Friday and then the Easter Sunday. But if we read the scripture, particularly the Gospel of John, most of John is spent with the lead up to that season. And so I was reading through John, just trying to think about what am I going to speak about today? When I came across John 9, and it reminded me of the story of the blind man. Now, the thing that intrigued me about this story is the fact that of all the stories in John, this is an extended story, that there's a lot of detail in this story, and it must be for a purpose. And all I would just say to you, if you really want to prepare yourself for Easter, and particularly for Good Friday, that you just read John 9 through slowly, because there's so many. I mean, I could do a whole year of sermons on John 9. And I've had to pick out just little bits here and there that I hope will be effective for today. But I suspect the reason why John took so much time recounting this story of the healing of the blind man, I suspect that he thought and realized that this story was probably one of the tipping points of the Pharisees that led up to the crucifixion, that they were gradually getting to, Jesus was gradually getting them their notice and also getting them angry with him. And it wasn't all the Pharisees, but there certainly was a group of Pharisees who did not like Jesus and did not like what they saw him doing, eating with sinners, working on the Sabbath. In fact, we'll be talking about that a little later on. But what happened here in this story was so profound for the Pharisees that did not like Jesus that it could very well have led to the crucifixion, perhaps even more so than the story of the cleansing of the temple when Jesus cleared the tables of the money changers. Although having said that, heaven help the person who touches the pockets of the money changers. But this account has so much to tell us in the way of insight around Easter. And so it's worthwhile taking that time between now and Good Friday to read through the scripture, as I said, read through it slowly. Jesus healed many people during his ministry, even other blind men. So what makes this incident so unique? Well, Jesus had declared right at the beginning of his ministry what his mission was when he read from the prophet Isaiah in the temple. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." This was a message of hope for the blind, the oppressed, the prisoner, the poor, the brokenhearted. This came with hope to them because it's directed at them and gave them a new hope. And that's what Jesus came here. And then Jesus went on, "I am here to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, previously, the year of the Lord was referred to as the year of Jubilee. Now, this was something that happened every 50 years, would have been a once-in-a-lifetime experience for most people. But during the year of Jubilee, it meant that all debts were going to be canceled, all the slaves would be freed, the prisoners would be released, and the first year of Jubilee of this 50-year period would be proclaimed with trumpets, so people knew for certain that this was the year of Jubilee. But now, we see in the scripture that Jesus had come to proclaim the acceptable year. And the acceptable year now has become every year. For instance, somebody here might have been born in 1948, I mean, apart from me. And I was born, what people would have said, in the year of our Lord, 1948. Or I came to Canada in the year of our Lord, 1952. So people still refer to every year as the year of our Lord. And this stems back to the day when Jesus stood up in the temple and said, "I have come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And God continues this ministry and this message of hope, as we witnessed through Jesus in his earthly ministry, who now works basically through the Holy Spirit and through us, his church, who are guided and who are saved by the blood of Jesus, but guided and directed in our daily lives by the Holy Spirit. Who needs to hear a message of hope today? Who needs an experience to bring hope to one's life? Do you need to hear a message of hope? As John the Baptist, or some people call him the Baptizer, was languishing in prison because of Herod, he sent an inquiry through his messengers to Jesus. He asked, "Is Jesus the coming one?" Now, in that prison, facing probable death, he needed to hear a message of hope and to know that his own ministry as a Baptist or as a baptizer had been worthwhile and was validated. And Jesus asked the messengers, when they came to him, to report back to him, and it's recorded in Matthew 11 and 15, "Tell John that the blind have received their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." So once again, the healing of this blind man was not an unusual occurrence. Well, when the blind man was healed, and he was healed essentially in obedience to God's commands, because Jesus put the mud in his eyes, he told him to go wash them in the pool of Siloam, which the Bible tells us, and he says in his own witness that he went and washed his eyes just as he was told, that he was able to see. So he was able to see because he did what Jesus asked him. Remember back in the Old Testament when Naaman was asked to go bathe in the River Jordan 7 times,
to heal himself of leprosy. He said, why the River Jordan? There's lots of other nice rivers around here that I could bathe in. But it was the obedience to God's leading that healed Naaman. And here in this particular chapter, it was the obedience of the blind man that led to the recovery of his sight. And Jesus was the instrument. So the neighbors and friends of this blind man asked how he was healed. And he just gave the facts. This man put clay in my eyes. He told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I received my sight. That's as basic a testimony as anyone could ever give, and yet so profound at the same time. So his neighbors took him to the religious leaders, who then got involved. And we read about this in John chapter 9. And they asked him once again to tell them what happened. So he once again, he gave his simple testimony. And he told them afterwards, he said, why, what difference would it have made? And he told them exactly what happened, that Jesus put the mud in his eyes, he sent them off to the pool of Siloam, I washed and was healed. Now, it was interesting, at this particular stage, the religious leaders, some of them, realized that this had taken place on the Sabbath. Now, why would it have taken place on the Sabbath? Well, anybody who's ever been involved in public relations or Christmas efforts of the Salvation Army knows that one of the things that you think about is where are the most strategic places to put our kettles? Why? Because you like to get as much income as possible to help support the Christmas effort. So you start thinking, well, there's Walmart and there's Costco and there's this place, there's that place. I mean, since I've come back, I've seen them putting them outside the LCBO. So obviously that's not a bad place to put kettles. I suppose people are feeling a little bit guilty and they put some money in. But it's one of the things that they do. It's that they sit and strategize. Well, if I was born blind, and thank God I wasn't, but some people have been, they would think, okay, now how can I get the most money? And if I get these religious leaders and these people going to the worship in the temple on the Sabbath, I'll stand outside, and because they're feeling religious, because that's where they're going, perhaps they even have their religious clothes on, or perhaps they're feeling guilty because of something they did that week, and they think that maybe if I give something to this blind man, it'll help me get over my bad things. Well, obviously, it was a good way for the handicapped people to get money, to get them from the people coming up to worship in the temple. So the first thing that this Pharisee realized is that this has happened on the Sabbath. And so they asked him again, and he said, all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. This one thing I know. Jesus made a difference and brought hope to many during his ministry when they needed it. Have you been in a position to give a simple testimony as to how God gave you a new lease on life? Or have you been able to hear someone else's testimony? Would you find it helpful, actually, to bring testimonies back into a Salvation Army meeting? Do you remember testimonies? Yes. And, I mean, sometimes people always gave the same testimony, but every once in a while, somebody would stand up, a young person, an older person, and they would just tell a short story that made you realize this person's been going through something, and now suddenly Jesus has worked in their life and has made them a different kind of a person. What a testimony it would have been. Well, we used to have testimonies in the Salvation Army, but then once upon a time we used to have two meetings as well. And so you can only fit so much into one meeting when you have it in the Sunday morning and people have roasts waiting in the oven or Swiss chalet waiting down the street. Well, would we find it helpful to bring testimonies back into a meeting? Well, I think perhaps it would help us every once in a while to have somebody come stand here and give their testimony. A story that tells how God is still at work in the life of people, in the life of St. Catherine's Salvation Army, in the life of the Salvation Army. Yes, it's a great encouragement. And this was his testimony to his neighbors, to the religious leaders. Once I was blind, but now I see. And they could see the difference it made in this person's life. Well, verse 13 reminds us that the person who was blind was then brought by his neighbors and friends to the religious leaders, where he gave his testimony once again. Now, this created a dilemma for them. First of all, Only a prophet or even God, and they said this themselves, only a prophet or God could bring sight to somebody who had been born blind. But he performed this miracle also on the Sabbath, which because he did work on the Sabbath, it meant that he's a sinner. So on one hand, only God could do this, but secondly, he's a sinner. He used to tell us that's cognitive dissonance in psychology, but I had forgotten about that until I read this chapter. That on one hand, only God could do this, but secondly, only a sinner would do this on the Sabbath. And so we talked about how they realized that he had been standing outside the temple and how he had been begging for money and that people with disabilities knew how to do this. But this was not a strange thing to be happening. Remember in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John went to the temple to worship, they saw this man who was also lame from his birth. And he asked for alms. And what was their response? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And it was instantaneous. He went walking and leaping and praising God. In fact, just like the chorus, right? He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking. Now, I won't do the actions. But here is an instant healing of a lame person, of a blind person outside the temple. And the question is, sometimes when there's a good thing to do, why should we wait to do it? If it's Sunday, my father used to say, the better the day, the better the deed. And so if it's Sunday and there's something good for you to do, why not do it? If it's the Sabbath, and Jesus went into this quite often with the Pharisees, he had been involved in many discourses with them regarding the Sabbath. In Luke chapter 13, when they criticized him for doing something on the Sabbath, he said, how many of you untie your donkeys on the Sabbath and lead them to water? He said, secondly, in Luke 14, he says, if one of your donkeys falls into a pit on the Sabbath, aren't you going to help that donkey get out? The conclusion being, if it's all right to help a donkey in distress on the Sabbath, then how much more is it for you to help a human being on the Sabbath? Well, keeping the purity of the Jewish blood, worshiping the one true God, keeping the law, particularly the rules governing the Sabbath, were the cornerstones of their religious activity. Now think of some of the rules that we grew up with governing Sunday, or the Christian equivalent of the Sabbath, that we remembered from our youth. What were some of the things that you couldn't do on Sunday? Anybody? Yeah. You couldn't go to the grocery store. And yes, you couldn't go to the grocery store. You couldn't. Some people couldn't even cook their meat on the Sabbath. They had to do it the night before. They had to do all the preparation, the vegetables, and all, and put it in the oven. And all they could do when they came home is push a little button. There's so many things that we were not allowed to do on Sunday. That has changed quite a bit. And certainly, going to hockey games and basketball games and baseball games on a Sunday, that was never part of it. And just to make sure, the Corps scheduled a very busy activity for Sundays. Members start off 9:15 at knee drill, and then open air, holiness meeting, Sunday afternoon directory, Sunday afternoon Sunday school, then we had the evening prayer meeting, and then we had another open air, and then we had the meeting, and then had a hallelujah wind up afterwards. And then we all rushed home so we could watch Bonanza. Well, our Corps scheduled a very full day of activity. Now, some acknowledged that a sinner could not heal the blind man, verse 16. But some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. So they came down on this side. He must be a sinner because he did this on the Sabbath. Now, I wonder if it would have made any difference if it hadn't been the Sabbath. Would they still have found some other excuse to diss the work of Jesus and his healing? It's like a sad trend. In today's society, people are often being judged by others based on just one dimension. But if we weren't placed here as Christians, or salvationists to judge, but to do good and bring glory to God. And how do we know this? Well, first of all, Jesus said in John chapter 34, he said, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then they said, when did we do this? He said, when you did this for one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Paul says, and so often we think of Paul being the one that said, by grace are you saved, not through works of righteousness. But Paul said in Galatians 6 and 10, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And when he wrote to Titus, he said in 3 and 8, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God might be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. And then James said in 4 and 7, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So the Salvation Army gives us a great vehicle for doing good within our community, but also throughout the world, and we've experienced this. But we can't just leave it to those who get paid to do it. We are doing the good work of Jesus is the responsibility and privilege of us all. And then finally, the Pharisees, who had selected to focus on Jesus breaking the Sabbath, went to talk to the man's parents, hoping they would deny that he was blind from birth. The parents were afraid of the Jewish leaders, but responded that, yes, he was blind from birth, but if you want to discuss anything else, well, he's of age, go ask him. So they call the young man, and ironically, they tell the young man, first of all, in verse 24, give God the glory, and now tell us, did this man heal you? And then, and that he was supposed to say that Jesus was a sinner. But his response was, I'm not the expert. All I know is that once I was blind, now I see. And then they said again, tell us again how he did this. Now, it begins to sound a little bit like one of those police interrogations that you see on television. I already told you, he said. Why? Then he added, do you want to become one of his disciples? Well, sometimes when you get exasperated with somebody, sometimes we add on a little comment that perhaps we shouldn't. It waves a red flag in front of them. But I suspect that's what happened here. But in their persistence, they only forced the young man into acknowledging that this healer must be from God. We know God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. And in the end, they said, stop lecturing us. And immediately they excommunicated him because they didn't like what he was saying. Now that was mature. Well, what does this say to us as a Christian faith, as a Salvation Army, as a St. Catherine's congregation, or even as individuals? That oftentimes we find in our own lives being faced with challenges, new things as well. Sometimes we see new technology that enables us to do things that we never ever thought possible before. In the Salvation Army, things happen. And we ask ourselves, is this of God or is this of the devil? And sometimes it's very quick for us to come down and make an assumption that this is wrong, that this is not the right way to go, that this is sin and this is something that we shouldn't do. But we have to understand, is our faith static or is it dynamic? Does God expect our faith and our lives to grow or to become holy and then stay that way for the rest of our lives? And when we read the scripture, we start to realize, and particularly in this story, that we can't close our eyes and our ears to what God has to say to us. If God has a plan for us, and he does have a plan for us, he wants us to grow, to move forward. Does the Holy Spirit say, this is meant to prosper you? Take my yoke upon you? Is this, when we look at our garden, do we look at a new shoot coming up and assume it's a root, or a weed? Or can we assume it's a new flower that we've never ever had before that's going to be beautiful? We don't know until we find out from God and we take that time to pause and reflect and say, is this something that you would have us do? Gamaliel was part of the trial of John and Peter in the Acts. And when they said, let's do something to these people because they are preaching the name of Jesus, he said, if this is of God, you can't stop it. If it's of man, well, it won't last. And so how do we in our own lives
perceive what is the difference. What is of God? What is of this world? What is of Satan? What is something that he doesn't want in our lives? And we have to take the time to listen to God, to listen to his voice, to tell us what it is. If we want to receive sight, God is there to do it for us. If we want to have insight, God is there to give it to us. And so instead of just jumping to conclusions, we should ask the Lord, make yourself known to me. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer, and we're going to sing a chorus, "Silently Now, I Wait for Thee." And silence sometimes is very hard to find in this world. People telling us what to do, telling us what our minds should be reflecting. But we say, "Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." And we're going to sing this chorus through a couple of times, but even as we sing it, as we have this time together, what is it God wants to show you? Ask him, "Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine." And God will answer your prayer. And if you have challenges in your life, he will show you the way. He will show you how to deal with them. He will show you what's for your good or what is for evil. And he will guide and direct you into these pathways. So even as we sing this chorus together, what your challenge is, what new thing God may be telling you, wait for him to tell you. Lord, we thank you that you are there for us. We thank you that you know our needs. And even as you look on us at this very moment, you know what we need to hear. You know what we need to see. And so, Lord, we just pray that now you will make your precious will known to us so that we can make it our will, so that we may walk more closely to you. We can walk in the pathway that you have set out. We can help fulfill your plans for our lives. But Lord, just show us the way. Guide us and direct us in all that we do. But may we always want to follow you and in your footsteps. For Jesus' sake we ask. Amen.
We're going to sing again from 871. Bob was talking about testimonies. And I'd like to think that I gave you my testimony today. Yes, it wasn't a period of, but it was a testimony. The fact that God has strengthened me and allowed me to do this today. And so I wasn't blind. A month ago, I couldn't say a sentence in a straight line. But I'm here doing this. So this one thing I know. This one thing I know. God. God. And so I'm feel that if we had time, we could hear so many of those stories. But think about them as we sing. Of what God has done in your life. So we go out with that strong sense of faith that he's in our lives and he's walking with us. So let's have the band help us. We'll stand and sing this.
shall we pray. And, O God, our Father, we just pray that we will have that simple testimony of the blind man who knew what you had done in his life, was grateful, and understood the difference it was going to make. But we just ask your blessing upon us as we go our separate ways. We just ask that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God will go with us, blessing us, guiding us, and directing us until we meet again. For these mercies we ask in your name. Amen.